Let's put one hand together and say, Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive the teaching of your word, the ministry of your spirit. Our eyes and our hearts receive with clarity the truth that is found in Jesus Christ alone. In this service, no flesh will glory. There is no confusion. There is no distraction. We have accuracy of truth found in God's word. In this service, and together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified, and we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 20. We're looking at a new creation. Now, I'll say this in the earlier service, that's the first service, but I did say it during the week, too. During one of our teaching sessions, we do have teaching sessions sometimes in the mornings. And so I told them that there's an importance of being established. And I try to give an example. I'm trying to not say the way I said it, because like I gave much away, that there are people I've known who would teach the same truth some of us believe today. They would affirm it strongly. They will even have miracles and signs that are tested. Then after a while, they begin to say something exactly opposite. I've seen that last few years of being in ministry. I've been in ministry for a few days, but I've seen that so often. So years ago, I began to think, what could this be? And I found out that even from our ministry, quite many years ago, just about the time to start Saints Community Church, I said, we're not getting very detailed enough. So I was somebody doesn't want to believe. He really doesn't just want to believe. Not that there were too many dark areas that were left. And we're an information age. We're exposed to all sorts of things. I don't have time with those who don't believe in the Bible. That's your problem. But if a person believes in the Bible, there must be adequate understanding. And that comes from detailed teaching. So then I took a decision to be more detailed. I've been known to be detailed for many years, but then I knew that that was just local champion. Anyway, local champion. People are saying they don't know it. So I decided look that we have to have a holistic view, and that's why I've never been either in a grace teacher or Christocentric. I'm neither of those things. I don't belong to such camps. My responsibility is to teach God's word and face the consequences. Alright? No matter what it says. Is it okay? So there's therefore a need to be very detailed and have people have clarity. It's like having, having someone who was writing you and you helped the person to pass. They gave the person expo origo. I was so surprised that some people were doing Bible school and they were doing origo. They were doing expo, that means they were cheating. I mean, that one is going to be good as easily in Bible school. You know, so, I mean, God is pastor and is operating. Then he goes to university to do it, not helping him. And one lecturer, one day. At the end of the day, he's going to end somewhere. Yeah, they're managing you, they could turn you to pastor, even though you cannot ever pastor a chicken. They got me over there. People there should not revive you. And they're just passing. They'll come in day when that conviction is going to be tested. So they can get the degree, the more conviction that you could wear it, and you know that it's very low. Your exam admission letter is italics. It's not original words. You know what I'm saying. I think you pass through the medical school. You have to go for your house job. There's this project. There's no rush, emergency. Should I give you glucose? No. It's okay. So, at that point, you at no point stop practicing that fake license and face your real career, hustling. Now, it's the same thing with the faith. You don't really know. You know, if you say Jesus, you don't explain. You say, I just know Jesus.
When I have my soul, whatever I am now, it is by your grace, apart from having somebody. Whatever I am now, it is by your grace. Many will die, is that grace for you? Many will perish, I don't want you to die. You should not even understand what that means. So I decided that I was going to be able to be more detailed. I know that the book of Hebrews just say, sometimes we get very elaborate. Oftentimes, it's years down the line that they are grateful. Years down the line. And I want to say, I'll do one day. So what is that? He got up and said, he told his friend, he said, Pastor, we believe. This is too wise. He said, we agree. So why is Pastor doing this about charismatic ministry? We don't speak in tongues there. He's doing as if we don't speak in tongues. We don't believe in the gifts. I told them, I said, this is for years to come. That down the years, you'll be grateful. Now they look back and they are grateful. Amen. So it's important to, when you are building the foundation, it's not because everything is happening there. It's for things that will happen in the future. So that it will be strong enough, that's there, to withstand any storm. So let's give our attention to the study of God's word. Let's give our attention to it. It should not be something you don't do by the side. That's why you come to the service, which I'll tell them the first service, where somebody came without a Bible. And I told the ushers, the moment I see someone without a Bible in the service, I'm going to remove the leader. The moment you enter our meeting without a Bible, if you don't have, we'll give you. Pastor, please, let's work on getting new Bibles. We'll give you. Not God will follow. Come and look out. That's your business. Bring the real word of God. The word of God written. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm trying to say. When I got born again, just a few days ago, when we are coming to church, about is the offer will ask you at the door, where is your Bible? In fact, they're putting your ask, where is your Bible and your inner? Because we're going to be doing it together. And so you carry it. And we have notes. Because if you won't have this thing, you'll sell like that. So it's a normal practice. So you go join like this, like, and you just tell a friend. Then you find each of them, I join. That is not something you do by the way. No. You go in worship to God to know Him. Hallelujah. Take it seriously. And your attitude to the study of God's word is your attitude to God. Amen. Are you there? Matthew 28. A new creation, say a new creation. Second Corinthians, that's that. Matthew 28. My mind is moving fast. You know, sometimes when you are teaching, you already have all your notes in your head. So sometimes I move quickly, you know. So just pray for the patience of God to be on my soul. Matthew 28, 18. Yeah, let's go. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all of all that will pass, given to me heaven and earth. And he says, go therefore and teach all nations, Matthew, baptize them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end. Now, Mark 16, 26, quickly, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I would say gospel is kingdom news, right? Basra. So all the world will be here, I do better to say, here I do shall be done, and these signs shall tell them that believe in my name, they cast out demons. There could be new tongues, they shall take up serpents, new ideas, they shall help them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was moved to heaven, and saw the wrath of God, and they went forth and took everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs followed. So we said, anytime you see a word, any word, used by Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, Jude, John, writer of Hebrews, that word is firstly an Hebrew word. It's firstly, it was originally said by the writer of the Old Testament. And with every statement they make in the New Testament, now when I say New Testament, you know I'm talking about books now, I'm not referring to the New Testament per se. There would be a narration, a narrative, an event, a personality, an incident that explains that word. Just like Basra.
I did a bit of that for them in the first service. We looked at the kingdom, sun, Zion, mountains, and we saw that it has to do with an event. So we went to track back to those events and saw the events that you find mountains at, you find kingdom, Zion. So the same way here, preach the gospel. Now, if you go to the Old Testament, you will see preach the gospel the way you are in it. There's another Hebrew language that explains it. Now, in Matthew 28, when it says make disciples, last week, remember we did an emphasis. Okay, we've got this service. And we asked the question from the statement he was made here in verse 19, sorry, that Matthew 2 make disciples, Matthew 2, M-A-T-H-T-E-U, it means to enroll as a scholar. Imagine if somebody, you see somebody in school, your father in school, and you are both there to study, both of you are there to study engineering, or you want to study political science. And the guy says, no, I'm not for academics. What do you say? Not for academics, what do you have to do? I learned there's a misnomer competition. That's really my passion. I told them to come and do NIGA, Nigerian University Games. Say, no, those ones are extracurricular. The main focus is the bishop. I'm not for books. What are you for? Everybody to know his own passion. What are you for? Well, I just want to be a club boy. Just be boys, and Or you say, I'm not for books. I came to this school to pray. I know you're not wrong. You're looking at this, are you? This one for you. I came to pray. You know, there was one guy like that who was a member of our ministry there. So we were both doing his academics. So, you know, I came to tell him, my father has refused to understand that I have the call of God upon my life. He finished that, said, look here. If you were my son, I was giving you a dirty, stinking slap. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you. I cannot slap you. But say for my son. See, the kind of slap that you will be seeing visions. By the time I finish my ministry on you, so when I was the second ministry, somebody gave me a slap. I saw that. And they went, so when I give you that kind of slap, I sent you to school. Don't boo my son. I sent you to school. You don't know how to tell your name. I said to him, you don't go and pray. You don't just pray. So, that means everything must have its own purpose. So when you say, church, ministry, it says to make disciples. And the word there means to enroll as a scholar. Now, you know, first last week, I asked a question. That this already means that Jesus intends every believer to be a teacher. A scholar of the scriptures. From the word he uses here, Matthew 2. So he began to look at, is this really true? Does it intend that everyone should teach? Now, I'm going to go to what may look like that is what may negate it. I like to first of all dispel an opinion people may have. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 28. The signs in 29 are all teachers. Now, I know if you're going for, well, what is the sign that I said this last week? You know, if you're going for evangelism before, and you want to make believers, if I don't know that I've seen a person who got born again, that said, you know, I want to minister the power of the Holy Ghost to you. If you say, I forget the promises, then you know. It's not for everybody. If a person has got born again, tell me about it. It's not for everybody. I said, why? I will go to 1 Corinthians 12 to all speak with tongues. Now, look at that word, okay? After the gift of healing, you all speak with tongues, you all interpret. Now, let's explore the meaning of that statement, you all. I said, is every believer meant to teach? Is every believer meant to be a teacher of God's word?
Corinthians 12:30 seems to disagree with 9:30. Because they are all. But if you have a King James, you notice the word are, A-R-E. A-R-E is italicized. When you see words that are bent like this, it means they were not in the original letters, original language. So when it says are all, the word are is italicized. It means all can be retained. So let's keep with verse 30. All the gifts of healings. That's the first thing. All the gifts of healings. I'll spell it in the Greek for you. Me, Pantes, Charismata, Echo, means Pantes, Pantes, P-A-N-T-E-S, then Charismata, C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A-T-E. All have gifts of healings. They also interpret. Do all interpret? All interpret. Me, Pantes, Daramenio, M-A-P-A-N-T-E-S, D-I-R, H-E-R-M-E-N-U-O. The other thing that I speak to tongues is the word Nepantis Glossolalia. Sorry, Nepantis Lamio, L-E-N-U-O, Glossolalia. Now, this is all. What all is he referring to? Now, you need to go to the background of what he said. He mentioned that in a physical body, he said there are different functions. He said, we have the eye, we have the foot, the body is not, there's 14, one member, but many. So, one member of many. One member of many. Now, before we got there, what was he talking about? Diversities of gifts. Verse 4, verse 5, diversities of ministries. Verse 6, diversities of operations. Listen carefully, he's not talking about individuals. He's talking about individual gifts, not individual believers. Let me see how you understand that. Not very clear. So, this is the set of thoughts. He's not the first individual believer, but individual gifts. So, he uses the physical body as a parable. So, he now says in verse 28, God has set now you are members of the body of Christ. You are a man of Christ and members in particular. I must submit to you that the word you here is not referring to the personal pronouns. Rather, I'm talking about these are the body of Christ. So this is the body of Christ, and that is members in particular, in function. He's not talking about individuals, he's talking about individual gifts. As in God has said something in the church. First, the apostles, second, the prophets, third, the teachers, that is in our gathering, our miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and rest of tongues. All apostles, now all believers or gifts. Come on. Okay? All prophets, believers or gifts. All teachers, believers or gifts. All prophets and miracles, believers or gifts. All gifts of healing, believers or gifts. All speaking tongues, believers or gifts. All interpreters, believers or gifts. So, it's talking about gifts, not believers. Does it make sense? Is it making sense here? It's like when you have this mathematical set, I don't use it again, or the toolbox, you have different tools to do different things in your car, right? So, it doesn't say that you cannot use two tools together. It doesn't say this tool may be for this purpose, but not for this purpose. He does not say, one person can't have all the tools. That is not what he's saying. Is that very clear? So when he says, that's what the next statement says. Convert earnestly what? Can you see? So, if he was restricting you to an individual, he wants you to convert. I'm trying to understand that. So, that means that this scripture is not saying, all believers are not teaching. That's what he's saying. He said, all the gifts is not teaching. So, that's what he said. Not all it is about tongues. That's what he's saying. He's not saying all believers can speak with tongues. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now, go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, when I say some, and they say, give me some. If they are eating and they give me some, that means give me part of it. If I say give me some, I carry the whole thing. You say, you are a thief. So, some in our language today means to take part of something. But that's not the Greek word here. The word some here, the Greek word is the. The. T-O-U-S. The. It's a particular, it's a term of a particular thing. Not quantity. Rather, a specific object. So, I read the Greek to you, because the Greek is clearest, is first men, apostolos. Then, that's apostles, post the prophetes, post the evangelistes, prophetes is prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-S, evangelistes or evangelists, post the Parmenas, that's pastor, Kyle Didaskalos. Again, he's not referring to pay attention individuals. He's referring to the gifts that differ. In verse 7, every one of us has been graced according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Then in verse 8, wherefore he said, when I said of an eye, because I didn't give gifts unto men. Then he talks about the different kind of gifts available. And last week in the first service, we went to Isaiah, sorry, Psalm 68. We don't have that long, we'll be here now. So, it's talking about referring gifts. It's not referring to individuals. Oftentimes, this lack of clarity has made people get confused. Become confused. That, well, I am a pastor. I am this one. You know, and it's a bit confusing. So, it's good to have clarity of those thoughts. As it is written by the original writer did not intend. I don't think he's talking about individuals. Rather, individual gifts. If you are there, which you should, our book, Charismatic Ministry, Volume 1 and 2, we did explain all of this. You know, so that's one. So, what then do we see in practice? What we see, for example, in Hebrews 5 and 12, the writer of Hebrews, in talking about spiritual maturity, says in verse 11, of both of them, Melchizedek, we have many things to say, but I have to utter, saying that you are dull of hearing. Then my friend says, you are carnal. And when you find you ought to be teachers, can you see it? In this five, are you there? For the time when you ought to know, okay? You have me that one teacher again, that which will be the first person of the oracle of God, and because they are made of milk and not of stone, let's take the thing together. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of God. Are you saying? For he is a day. 14. But some of the ones who don't have food is even though the reason of use and the sense that the sense is exercised in time, both good and evil. So, being a teacher here is a function of what? Maturity? Is it maturity? Very good. So, here it says you ought to be teachers. By the time you ought to be teachers, you're trying to put down books, you won't read them. You have Facebook posts 10 a day, you won't study it. You have internet media, you won't go there. You have Facebook Live, what do we do every day? Talk to social, you won't go there. You have books, you have even the ones that are free, you freely leave them aside. How many of you are complaining with that? But I've been a Christian for some time. See your mouth. You are going big. For the time you ought to be teacher. 2 Timothy 2. The things you have learned of me, among many witnesses, commit unto who? Faithful men who shall be able to help teach others. Which means the church is known for who? Teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. That means that all believers in group must desire what? A desire the office of a bishop. Bishop simply means episcopi, episcopos in the Greek, one who oversees other believers. So in 1 Timothy 5:17, he calls that person an elder, a spiritually mature Christian. So he says a bishop must be the steward apt to teach. Able to teach. Didacticos in the Greek, D-I-D-A-K-T-I-K-O-S. Able to teach. To teach biology. To teach interpersonal skills. Marketing. That was it. To teach digital marketing. Cryptocurrency. To teach law. To teach power. To teach the scriptures. So what we have to know in mature Christian is if I bring to what? Teach the scriptures. How to teach. 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must be able to teach. So the result of the effect of spiritual growth is to be in the teaching ministry. John, in John's writings, 1 John 2, I write unto you fathers, because I have known you from the beginning. Then verse 14, I write unto you fathers, because I have known you from the beginning. So there are distinctions like that among believers. 2 John, John writes again to his own disciple, a lady, said, an elect lady. The word elect there is the Greek word kurios, K-U-R-I-O-U-S, somebody who is over others. Kurios, that we have an elder and our children. But he says that the walk in the truth in verse 4. And one of the instructions he gives to them in verse 7, 8, and 9, and 10 is to the lady he says she should insist that no false doctrine should come into our house. That is an overseer, a pastor. In 3 John, he wrote to Gaius again. He gives God an instruction as touching false teachers. Beautiful. It's in verse 9, 10, 11. And God is supposed to be one, is one of his children that walk in the truth. In verse 8, he uses the word fellow helpers. Fellow helpers. The word fellow helpers, synergos in the Greek, S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S, S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S, is used strictly for those who are in the ministry. Romans 16 verse 3, Paul's associates. Romans 16 verse 3, Romans 16 verse 9 and 21. Then Paul amongst others, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24. Take it again, Romans 16 verse 3, Romans 16 verse 9 and 21, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24. 2 Corinthians 8:23. 2 Corinthians 8:23. Philippians 2:25. Philippians 2:25. Philippians 4:3. Philippians 4:3. Colossians 4:11. Colossians 4:11. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Philemon 1:1. So the result of the effect of discipleship is the ministry of teaching. 1 Peter 5:1-5 or 4, where Peter makes mention of those whom he says are younger and those who are elder. So, which means teaching is a resultant effect of proper discipleship. So, one of the proofs that you are being a disciple is the teaching of God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, can all believers be teachers? Oh, yes. Not there. Can all be there. That is the end point, the key aspect of discipleship, the ability to teach. So, it is important that in our study of Scripture, we should see the end point. The end point is that God seeks a ministry through us. A ministry. So, you must pay attention to the teaching of God's Word. There are some things that are extra peripheral things. They are not major things in the church ministry at all. They are not, it wasn't major on them. Where the church is situated, who stands at the door to welcome people, the color of the stage. They are very, very, I would say insignificant, but they are not significant. Whether the church uses a sound system or not is not significant. Whether a church has, building on that is not significant. Whether a church has a good music system is not significant. There are not significant issues at all. Whether a church, where they meet, whether they have air conditioners, whether the seats are comfortable, they are not significant things at all. They are good things if you have them, you can afford them, do it. The most significant thing in the garden of believers is how we handle God's word. The most significant thing, how we treat it. So that's what we look at assembly. I will know how serious they are when they are about to teach. Imagine you just sit there and they are just like, and they have no Bibles. Some can even not have Bibles. Because I know some churches that they put the scriptures on the screens. I don't believe that. I don't believe in that. But, and I'm not saying I don't believe that I can use the screen to teach. I didn't say that. But to collect the Bible and put it on the screen. Bring your Bible to church. Bring it to the service. Then have notes. I am taking notes. Why are you taking the notes? So that you can go back and take it. And read through it. So I don't know how serious you are. If I get in and, we are all prayerful, praying. I don't mind. I mean, that's good. After praying, if that time you see the people that prayed now slept off. How did they know how to pray? Or the sermon is so short that as we open the first scripture, we don't go back there again. Now I don't believe in Jesus. And Jesus. And we learn to pray for us. This is not a serious place. The time we had to teach the word of God was about 30 minutes. But thanksgiving. How many thanksgiving? Somebody's meaning is sad. 10 minutes. And a good testimony of what happened at the hospital. Another person comes. I got a new job. 15 minutes. Another person comes. He said, our grandfather died 6 years ago. It was a bad incident, but our family is still together. 10 minutes. You know what I'm talking about? Right? You know me. Then, the people that got married to last week, they come out. And then they start saying that, if you need any car, yes, you know. 10 minutes. But it's teaching. So, things like that, people never get bored. The only one they want to wrap up a week, like a snack, is double teaching. Go straight to the point. God hates you. God loves you. Don't say it to me. Don't tell us directly what he wants. We see whether I can do it or not. So I know how serious such an assembly is. It's the kind of time you give to the teacher. And I, when I got born again, not too long ago, we never had this luxury that you have here too of first and second service. Which I think came up because of the idea of people not having, the space is not too big for all of us to be there at the same time, so we have to, But then after a while, it became something else. Then the service became very short. That sometimes you will not, we are finished. It's better than the move. And then you start finding Christians who do not know their life from their left. They don't know anyone. They don't like middle left anyone. They don't do themselves and their sins. You don't know how a man is born again.
Somebody told me one day, say, I thought this person was a Christian. I said, why? He said, this is not better. Because anybody likes me. And you know that without God handing upon somebody, who cannot like someone like that? I said,
Alive, won't be like.
What is this? I don't know why I did it for many years. So, when those things came up, I didn't look into it. The person in the room, the time wasn't going to be extended. We will be dancing. I've never seen anybody dance to a person. So, sick. I've never seen anybody. They'll be awake. All power and authority will be in their bodies. The mother of the Bible. All the demons and ladies. All the spirits of Egypt.
I don't like that your church. Why?
The service is too long. It's not the service you're talking about.
It is the Bible teaching the man is talking about.
Silence is too long.
If I say, mercy, it will go well.
For better breakthrough for your business. If you drink for 4 hours, nobody will retire. Then say, you need to look for prayer points.
The spirit of
you know, but it's not a business and let's see it. And they go to the poor and they say, Thursday! You are going to ask for the spirit of Amish tea. Let's examine the world's stance.
Seriously, amen. I take Christians that take God's word seriously. I take Christians that don't take God's word seriously or seriously. Not really care. So the whole point of this evangelism is for believers to be able to teach. Hallelujah. So he said, and we'll just look at a couple of things now. In the study of Scripture, in Luke 24, go there quickly, but 25 to 27, when Jesus said, faith means a small part. To believe all that the prophet has spoken, up with Christ to have suffered these things, and then to enter into his glory. 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all of the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, look at that. That means that spiritual maturity and effectiveness stems from the ability to read scriptures together. Now, you know, at the point where he did this, there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, 1 Samuel, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Oh, he didn't have all of that. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 3 Samuel, Philemon, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. He didn't have all that. That wasn't that many. Titus, Hebrews, James, Jude, 1st, 2nd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, and 3rd John. I didn't have all of that. So, that means that an important skill of a Bible teacher, an important understanding of a believer in knowing how to work with God, is the ability to read the scriptures together as one book. In other words, you need to read scriptures as each text refers to each other, which we call the interdependence or interrelationship of texts. How a text will refer to another text, the other text. Now that we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the other books of the 27th of what we call the New Testament, that further says that your effectiveness as a believer, maturity, is your ability to read the 66 books how? You must be able to read the Ephesians book in Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy in Ephesians. That
will be Christian and spiritual maturity. In fact, let me say this like that. While the Old Testament was interpreted by Jesus without a reference to the epistles, you cannot interpret the epistles without the Old Testament. So the Old Testament interprets itself. The Old Testament explains itself by a menu. Its language, its context, its references and referrals, its corroborated facts. It has its own interpretation. In verse 44, in Luke 24, Jesus says, "These are the words I said to the Lord Logos. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Look at 45, Luke 24. "Then open me the understanding that they might read the scriptures together," so many, to read it together. So it's vital in your walk with God to read the scriptures together. What am I saying? A believer must have an understanding of every text of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Every text of the Bible. Let me say it again. Every text of the Bible was written for you. Every text of the Bible was written for you to study. So look at Mark 16. You can't be a serious Christian if all you have is the New Testament books. You have a serious Christian. Serious Christian has 66 books in place, and he is in the study of it in his local church and with his personal devotion to Bible study. Mark 16. Are we together? Now, the first sign he mentions in Mark 16:17, he says, "They shall cast out demons." And he says, "They shall speak with new tongues." Now, look at that one, new tongues. There are two times that Jesus uses the word new before now. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. Mark's Gospel 2, verse 21. "No man saw the piece of new cloth on an old garment. There was a new piece that filled it up, takes away from the old, and the rest is made worse. No one puts new wine into old wine bottles. There is a new wine that burst the bottles. And the wine is filled and the bottle will be melted. The new wine must be put in new wine skins." A major reference. And why? Because they asked why the Christ were asking why the disciples did not fast. Then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel 14, verse 24. "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. This is my blood of the New Testament." So he mentions New Testament. Where do we find New Testament? New Testament is in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. Jeremiah 31, so Jesus definitely was using Jeremiah's words. "The old days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Now, we said the word new is the word chadash, which has to do with God renewing his promise. Remember that? Alright, we're keeping his covenant, keeping his promise alive. So, when Jesus now says new tongues, it must have a relationship with new covenant. New tongues. So the new covenant, the new tongues. Kairos dosalalia. So what is he referring to? Well, that takes us to this, because we're going to look at a few other things in a moment. Now, when it says new tongues, where do we find tongues and tongues as a promise in Isaiah 28. Tongues as a promise. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And verse 10. Chapter 9. "Who shall he teach knowledge? And who shall he make to understand doctrine?
then they are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept was built upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. I'm going to skip verse 11 and 12 for a purpose. Then I'll go to 13. For the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, there a little, there a little, and there a little, that they may go and fill up and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, here the word of the Lord is confirmed that we distribute in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is used for where God dwells. Right? Jerusalem, the city of the living God. So he says in 15, because you have said, you have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we as agreement and with our friends called surpass too. It shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, prayer, present here, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Can we take verse 16 together? Let's go. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I wait in Zion for the foundation of the stone. That means that now Zion, again, Psalms 5 and 7, 1 Kings 8, verse 1, refers to the city of the king. So when I lay in Zion a stone is used to build a house, right? A foundation. So that means that it's a fresh stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, he that believes shall not make haste. So, is this conversation about building the temple? Is it about the temple? Now put your hands there and go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Verse 21. I will praise thee for thou hast helped me and have become my salvation. Let me pray together. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of. Look at the word builders. So Isaiah was referring to a new in Zion a stone, a precious stone. Was Isaiah referring to Psalm 118? Huh? Come on. Yeah. So Isaiah was also referring to Psalm 118. They are saying that so many, reading them together. So in the building of the temple, we have the precept upon precept, line upon line, in the building. The little here, the little there. So which means that in the things of God who build, there are different elements in his temple. Of course, his temple, as we know, refers to a people. So the concept of this promise of a stone, and you can, let's make a few more references. In Matthew 7, Jesus used this, illustration, or this word, not illustration, in referring to the building. Which or what in the New Testament we call oikodomio. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. Two words. Oikos or oikia. House, family, dwelling place, then we have dama. Upon. So, Matthew 7, verse 24. The wise man that built his house upon the rock. To build a house. Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. The same conversation. The building of God's temple. You know, we have a physical temple that you look at. And Jesus and the apostles' temple, we build as a stone. A precious stone. A sure foundation. A new temple. So Matthew 16, 18. Matthew 21, 33, the tower. Matthew 21, 42. The stone that the builders rejected was referred to again. Matthew 23, verse 29, to build homes. Now, if you look at the accusation they made against Jesus, he said he will build the temple in 3 days. Matthew 26, 61, and Matthew 7, 40. Now, in Acts 4:11, Psalm 118 again was referenced, and Isaiah 28.
the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Now pay attention to Acts 7:47. Let's look at Acts 7:47. In Stephen's sermon, he makes that clear distinction for us. Acts 7:47. Now, the passage is saying here that Solomon built God a house. Right? So, that is the physical temple that we can see from the Exodus up to the prophets. Look at 48. Let's say 48 together. Howbeit, that is nevertheless God, the Most High built not in temples, not in hands, as said the prophet. Look at what Solomon built in temples. He said, this place is too small to be called your house. It was very clear that it's not God's house. That rather, this is for us a sign of your house. So nobody was thinking that they were building God a house. You know what I'm saying here? They knew that. So what they were doing is to give an illustration using a physical house. So right now we are, and that illustration is what is now called the Old Testament. Now very clear. Something that was meant to be temporary, to just be used as a sign or a signpost. Now, put us 49, let's put us right together. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What house would you build me? Say the Lord. What is the place of my head? So, we have three words that mean the same thing. Temple, house, place of my head. Is that very clear? Is it clear? Temple, house, place of my head. House, Nokia. Temple, Nahos. Place of my rest. So, this text is Isaiah 66, verse 1. Stephen refers to here, Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Heaven is my throne, heaven is my footstool. Where is the heart that you give unto me? Where is the place of my rest? Where is the house? Where is the place of my rest? Look at Acts 9:31. I found that by Isaiah, Acts 9:31. There are the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And they are edified. This is what is called rest. You know, they were sleeping. They were edified, being built. Are you there? When they say rest, I'll enter my rest. I don't collect around me again. I just paying for my pension. But that's what I did. This is not mess. It's Mosaics. He has entered his rest. Nonsense. So I don't have that dialogue. I don't want to ask God for things. I just give thanks. Son died. I just thank the Lord. You are a retired Christian. Rest means that we are building. Is that clear? In the rest of God, we are what? We are what? Building. Rest is work. Hallelujah. Is that correct? Rest for us is to sleep. Rest in scripture is work. Jesus said that. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now look up there. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and we can make this is come and learn. That if my word yoke, zumos, in the Greek means responsibility. Now let that my way, hallelujah. Say, brother, sister, I'm looking very beautiful. I've been cut my way, so I don't stress anymore. No, those who are in the rest are stressed.
How do you know the rest of God? Like Paul, when he's going from pillar to post, that is the rest. Hallelujah. I've got to use Bible words. Don't use your day, day language. So let's say the rest, they were edified walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We are being edified. That work was going on. Acts 20:32. I commend you to God for the word of the Lord, so that he builds you up and grants you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Romans 15:20, Paul says, I did not build upon any man's foundation. So when you preach to God, when someone is born again, you are building, right? Right? Okay, when you are teaching God's word, you are building. So 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, Paul says, knowledge pops up. Knowledge pops up, but what part of the fight? Love. Love is building. Love is building. They use that word for emboldened in verse 10. That the man who eats full of the word is emboldened. Then 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. Not all things build for God. Put all this. Is it making sense? So look at 1 Corinthians 14. So look at what we have done. We have read texts into each other, right? We've read Isaiah, Psalms, then Isaiah again, according to Psalms in the moment. Then he now says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. And very importantly, we have Paul lets us know that he is teaching from that Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, where did Paul teach the subject of tongues from? He must have taken it also from where Jesus took it from. You can't teach tongues without explaining Isaiah 28. So there is Paul saying, in the law of verse 21, 1 Corinthians 14, it is written with other tongues, the word name is italicized there, and other written will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that you will know here. So this is Isaiah 28. Of course, let's mention Peter 2. 1 Peter 2:5. He says, we are built up in spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 7, the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. So that means Isaiah 28, verse 11 is a critical text to understand tongues. Remember when I was going back, I was like, why is this looking up? This means Satan. Satan is confused. Deliverance is happening. That's why they are living in tongues. Why is he not confused? They are not confused, though. So in Isaiah 28, he says, with stumbling lips and another tongue will I speak to these people. The word stumbling there is the word belage, B-E-L-A-G-E, is to mock. That means when you hear tongues, the natural man will do what? Mock it. When you hear tongues, often is to mock it. What is this? You know? They called it mockery. Then another, A-R-C-H-E-R in Hebrew, a different kind. So yet they will not hear. So, which means that say these people, if you observe very well, Isaiah equally is taken from the power of Babel story. Genesis 11, verse 5 to 6. I thought that going to read, we'll lay a hand on it later. So that means that when tongues are mocked, it is a sign that the person mocking it is moved, an unbeliever. Do you get it now? Probably there is a sign. Tongues is a sign. Tongues are aware that this person is an unbeliever. So tongues, therefore, is a sign that they will not hear. Look at the next verse. This is the rest. This is the rest which will cause the weary to rest. Two words are there. This is the resting place of God's temple. So one of the stones, or one of the things that are done in the house of God, is new tongues. And then Isaiah says, is the resting place, Menucha, M-E-N-U-C-H-A-H, M-U-N-U-C-H-A-H,
which we had read earlier in Isaiah 66, verse 1, Psalm 132, verse 8, enter into a resting place. And very vitally, put this down somewhere. In Psalm 95, verse 11, it is used for what God promised to Israel. His rest. His rest. Or the Sabbath. Genesis, I mean, Exodus 20, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. If you like Genesis again quickly, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. That when God had finished, then he entered into the rest. So the resting place is God's temple. So he said, this new house is in the rest of God, resting place. We call the word to rest, Noah, M-U-A-H, to build upon it. So which means that we are going to be built by God. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Uh-huh. Then he says, this is the refreshing, Magia, M-A-R-G-E-A-H in Hebrew, from the word Raga, R-A-G-A, it means to be settled. To be settled. So you see that when Jesus therefore said he will speak with new tongues, is it referring to worship? Huh? Prayer? Praise. That means that it's a new creation, a new mode of communication, a new covenant. Hallelujah. Is that fair? So when we speak with tongues, right, what are we practicing? God's presence. We are practicing his presence. We are practicing worship in God's temple. Let's speak with tongues. Come on. Let's speak with tongues. Is this a new creation? Come on, go ahead, go ahead. Is this a new creation? Is this a new creation? A little here, a little there. So this is part of the little. That there. Do you understand? Line upon line, you get it? So this is part of the new creation. Our mode of worship, praise God, and prayer and spiritual sacrifice. Does that make sense? Very good. So go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's why speaking with tongues has no limits. I thank my God has spoken more than you all. So, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, let me say what I have been listening. So, verse 17. Therefore, if any what is the Greek word? Is it a popular pronoun? Right? Is that a collective one? Right? If any T-I-S in the Greek, in Christ, in new creation, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. It's not referring to a person. It's referring to a people. That's why afterward, the pronouns are collective. He has given to us. He has committed to us. We are ambassadors for God. So the concept of the new creation is the same as the new covenant. Let's quickly look at that. Now, in chapter 2 chapters before, and listen very well, Paul calls all of us in verse 6 able ministers of the New Testament. Then he makes reference in verse 14 to an Old Testament. So the New Testament. So New Testament, new creation are the same. We find the new covenant to know the new creation. So let's explore the word new covenant. What does covenant mean? So if you have a covenant with God, pay attention to what I'm saying. That I will never use a fairly used type of being. See, God spoke to me and said, I will covenant with you. And you see, such
very ridiculous explanations. Very ridiculous. Hallelujah. What is covenant? That's the first question.
Because when you talk about covenant, they take it from their own language.
What is covenant?
For there to be a new covenant and to be an old one. The old covenant is, of course, I said, everyone must also have a power in the Old Testament. Okay. It is the word belief. B-E-R-I-T-H. Is used 284 times at least. 284 times. The very first time, I will read the Genesis meaning of covenants. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Because it is in the new covenant that I call who? New covenants. We find the new creation. So, a new covenant I make with them, the people, I write my law in their heart, new creation. So, from the new covenant, you find the new creation. Ezekiel says, I put my spirit within them. Ezekiel 36, 26, 27, Ezekiel 11, verse 19. So, it's from the new covenant, I write the new creation. So, look at Genesis, chapter 6. And verse 18. Pay attention here. And then we have established my covenant. With you we have established my covenant. Genesis 6:18. So go to Genesis 9, verse 9. Watch this very well. I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Verses 9:9, 9:11, 9:12, 13, and 15. Look at 17. Talking of the covenant that I established between me and all flesh. That is upon the earth. So, what therefore is covenant? It is covenant whose ends or whose goal is achieved. You see it in a moment. In a covenant. The word berith means confederacy, when two people partner. When two partner. In Genesis 13 and verse 3, a confederacy. Genesis 14 and verse 13, sorry. A confederate with Abraham, they fought the war together. Genesis 15, verse 8, and when they put it from wars, that means it means to work with a partner, to claim territories, to accomplish goals. Genesis 15, verse 18, that is it, sorry for that. 18 of your seed, alright? Genesis 15, verse 18, Genesis 17, verse 2. Genesis 17, verse 4, verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, 13, 19, and 21. So, the word berith, right, was used in that day where two people come together, where a stronger party comes in covenant with a weaker party. Now, in their day, deities or supernatural beings don't come in covenant with men. So this was very strange. Which means that I will walk with you. Not that I am in a problem. I am the Almighty. And I'll be in covenant with you. So if I say I am the Almighty, and I'll be in covenant with you, that means one, I don't need you. I don't need your power. I don't need your resources. I don't. Let me go ahead. I don't need your resources. I need your power. No. I just need to believe. So, covenant, therefore, we have to deal with God's purpose in the earth. Are we being found in it? It's taken from the word Bara, B-A-R-A-H, which means to choose. So, in God's covenant, Abraham was his prophet. Genesis 20, verse 7. His prophet. His spokesperson. So, covenant is first and foremost a ministry term. A term for ministry. Covenant simply means to walk and minister and serve or fight together. So when in Jeremiah 31, he says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, when I let them out, but they did not continue, even though I was an husband unto them. Which means that they did not carry out my purpose and plan. In the new covenant, or in God's covenant, it's not our own ends that are met. It's his own purpose that is established. So where is, pay attention here, in Jeremiah 31, 32, and 33, where he says they will not continue in that covenant, even though I was their husband. The husband there is B-A-B-B-A-L in the Hebrew, it means master. Isaiah 26, verse 13, Isaiah 51, verse 1, 54, sorry, verse 1 and 5. I'll take it again. Isaiah 26, verse 13, Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 5. Precisely Isaiah 54 and verse 5, Isaiah 54 and verse 5. The Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Isaiah 62, verse 4 and 5. So, the concept of, you see here now, the concept of a covenant is a union to produce fruit. So, it takes us back to Genesis, husband, Adam, Eve, the mother of believing. The seed is with the man, the mother of believing. So, covenant, therefore, is where God's purposes are worked through us. It remains the Ezar, verses 2:18. Our help who is meet for us, Ezar Naged. So, let's look through Israel. Israel is my son, my firstborn, Exodus 4:22 and 23. What happens? Israel fails to carry out God's purpose in the earth, to carry out his ministry. God had worked through Abel quickly. Abel, we have what we call the right of the firstborn, the Bekar. Let's look at that very quickly. B-E-K-A-R. Abel, or the word Bekorah. B-E-K-O-R-A-H. Israel is my firstborn. What does firstborn mean? Firstborn, in the first thing we're going to see in Genesis chapter 4, where Abel offered the firstborn. Now, Moses is writing in an illustration. It means Abel served. Abel served God. How do we know that? In Genesis 25, we have, for example, two children were born. Right? But through Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau. Two nations in 23. Genesis 25. They know that conversation. Sell me your birthright, 31. 32, Esau said, I didn't marry, man. And he sold his birthright. He despised his birthright for the poor. He didn't count as anything important. That's not property inheritance. If I believe Jesus very well, Esau was richer than Jacob. What was the right? What was that privilege they got from their father? Their granddad was God's prophet, right? And equally their dad. It was a ministry of a prophet. Esau gave a dad, didn't give a damn. Jacob knew this was working with God and his purpose on earth. What Abel did, what Noah did, Enoch, Noah, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and later Joseph. So the first born is the Bekorah, the one who has the father's ministry and office, who carries it on. So when God says to Israel, Israel is my son, my firstborn, it means I want Israel to be my priest in the earth. Is that making sense? Alright? So the covenant he had with Israel was that Israel should bear fruit for him in the earth. To bear fruit. Without including winning souls and discipling them. Are you following this? From the Greek, from Hebrew, from Baka, baby, I almost said Barcelona, that's not it. Jesus' name. B-A-K-R, not B-I-C, no, that's Baka. You just must take your Bible and pray it away. It means to bear fruit, Baka, or Jeremiah 12, 6 and 17, it means to bear new fruit. To bear new fruit. Jeremiah 12, 6, it means to bear new fruit. So, when you have covenant, belief from the word Baha, and then you have the word Bakora, firstborn, it means to bear fruit for, or new fruit. Genesis 12, verse 6 and verse 17. To bear new fruit. Leviticus 27, verse 26. Jeremiah 4, verse 31. Ezekiel 27, verse 12. Leviticus 27, verse 26. Jeremiah 4, verse 31. Ezekiel 27, verse 12. So look at all these words. Israel is my son, then my firstborn, to bear fruit, my seed. Seed is the continuation of a man. Israel to carry out my work in the earth. Israel is to bear fruit for me. That gives us Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Be faithful, multiply, replenish the earth. Is somebody following me this morning? Are you following me this morning? Israel is my son, my firstborn. So the term son, firstborn, is used as a corporate status here. Zerah, Bakor, or Bakora. In Genesis 1, 26, let us make man in our image. After our likeness. Selem, T-S-E-L-E-M. A corporate status. In mankind. And what was the first thing he said mankind should do? Be fruitful, right? Multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it. And when all that is done, Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3, when everything is finished, God will not enter into it. Are you there? So the image of God is a corporate status. That's why he said, male and female. And the let us a communal statement. So God has always made humanity in a community to achieve a community. Paul explained that word in Colossians 1:15 to the fullest. Colossians 1:15. He says about Jesus, Colossians 1:15. He says, who is the image of the invisible God, Acon, the firstborn of every creature. Image, Acon, firstborn, Israel, Abel, Isaac, Jacob. Then in verse 18, he is the end of what? The body, corporate status. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Acon, head, kephali, body, so much together. So this means image of God is not what I am, is who we are. The church, the body of Christ. So image of God is not
eyes, legs, and all that. The image of God is a corporate status that God intends for mankind. So covenant is why we see the new creation. Listen carefully. So covenant is partnership, and it is used to carry out whose purpose on the earth? God's purpose on the earth. Is it also a call to ministry? A call to service? Who's what I'm saying here? Does it make sense? So, God will pass through that table again. And in Luke 22, of course, it's in Matthew 26, 2, verse 26 to 28, and Mark 14. I will focus on Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 20. This cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Luke 22, verse 30. We are going to Mark 14. New Testament. That means a partnership with God, right? Right? Okay. Mark 14. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Matthew 26. This is not the word which is said for many, for the remission of sins. The remission of sins. So Luke 24, 27 says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Listen carefully to this. Should be preached. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, so we have in the blood of Jesus, right, in the sacrifice of Jesus, there is a standing. And then he says, it is a ministry. So in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul, referring to the Passover again, 1 Corinthians 11, he says, when Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me, 25. Then 25, this cup is a New Testament in the blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, katagelo. In what that means to preach. You preach the Lord's death till he comes. So the New Testament is a ministry. Could we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Let's read verse 6 together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. Quickly. Yeah, that's very long. Let's go. Every minister of what? The New Testament. So we call it a ministration of the Greek life and 6. A ministration in verse 8 of the Spirit. Everybody is a minister of the Spirit. In Corinthians, the minister of the Spirit again in 17. Then look at chapter 4, verse 1. Let's take it together. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry. Then in verse 2, not only the word of God deceitful. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them who are lost. Verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, we are servants for Jesus' sake. So, New Testament, is it a ministry? God working through all to fulfill his message, his will on earth. Hebrews chapter 8, quickly. Learn something. Hebrews 8. Verse 1. Now, for the things which we have spoken in the song, we have certain high priest who is set on the right hand of the Holy Majesty in the heavens, the minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which they have preached and not man. So he called Jesus a minister. Then, in verse 6, let's take it together slowly, let's go. Now, have he obtained a more excellent ministry? By how much is the mediator of the better covenant, which was established upon better promises? The word ministry there is a noun, liturgia in the Greek, L-E-I-T-O-U-R-G-I-A. L-U-I-T-O-U-R-G-I-A. You see it in Luke 1:23. 2 Corinthians 9:12. Luke 1:23. 2 Corinthians 9:12. Philippians 2:17 and 30. Philippians 2:17 and 30. Hebrews 9:21. I think again, Luke 1:23. 2 Corinthians 9:12. Philippians 2:17 and 30. Hebrews 9:21. He's taking from the one liturgy. Now, pay attention somewhere. L-E-I, that's a verb. T-O-R-U-G-E-O. T-O-R-U-G-E-O. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, verse 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. That they minister to the Lord is to minister as priests. As priests. So the covenant has its priesthood. Those that God walks through. Melchizedek. If he walks through. Romans 15 and verse 27. And Hebrews 10, 11. So the new covenant has priesthood. The new covenant has priesthood. When God called Israel out in Exodus 19. Let's go there quickly. Because Jeremiah told us that Israel failed at it. Exodus 19. So the new covenant gives us responsibility. Is that right there? Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, verse 5, and keep my covenant, and keep my word, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Let's take verse 6 together. You shall be unto me what? A kingdom of God, priests, and an holy nation. So, as soon as you are in the new covenant, you become what? A priest. A minister. A servant. So, Paul will say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Or anyone in Christ, a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Remind us of chapter 3. Ministers of the New Testament. Chapter 4. We are servants for Christ's sake. We preach the gospel. Then Paul, he says, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us what? The ministry of the New Testament, which is the ministry of reconciliation. To whom God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses again unto them. And has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. Now we are ambassadors. Word ambassador here is the word presbyo. P-R-E-S-B-E-U-O. I close there. P-R-E-S-B-E-U-O. The verb of the word elders. You go, you want to start from that point? Those who are responsibilities to teach and preach God's word in the earth. Presbyo, from presbyteros. We are ambassadors for Christ, taking his word to people. So we have the new covenant, the new creation, having a ministry. A ministry. So, covenant simply means God's working through us, working in us to fulfill his purpose on earth. So the new creation is the man in the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We continue from here next week. God bless. Very blessed. Stand to your feet. Bless the Lord.